chuckle, just like little kids. They want to see it. B, yeah. And I'm wondering what they'll think about my candy wrappers, and my purse, and my notebook, and my tapes. There are audio tapes. D, well, they may not bother anything. B, yeah, I don't think they would want them. I just had the thought. I wonder what they think. Especially of the tapes that have to do with UFO things. Chuckle, and I'm wondering if they'd like to know what's on them. But anyway, we're coming to a door, and we're going into another room. And in the middle of the room there's a chair that has arms. It has a headrest, and a footplace, like a... Well, they're putting me in it, and it's like a recliner chair, but it doesn't have the part for my legs to rest on. But it does have sort of a diagonal footrest thing, and I put my feet on it. It's got corrugations on it, ridges, so my feet don't slide off, because it's on a slant. And they put my arms on the arms of this chair. Let's see, what does it remind me of? Kind of like a dentist chair. And a little bit like a beauty parlor chair. With arms that have some padding on them. And they put my arms there with my wrists hanging over the ends. This is kind of like a beauty parlor, in a way, because you know in the beauty parlor they have this heating hair dryer type of apparatus? Yes, so they're putting something over my head from behind, that is part of this chair thing. It must be adjustable, and it fits right around my head. And there are some beings, one on each side, adjusting it. And this is a smaller room. It's not round. D, what do you think they're doing with that? B, wondering, I don't know. If they didn't look nice, I think I'd be really terrified. But I'm not terrified. Investigating the investigator, 511, D, can you see how it fits over your head? B, no, because they put it on from behind. As I was approaching the chair I noticed it was almost like a beehive-shaped thing. And it's smaller than the dryer at a beauty parlor. Anyway, here I am, and I'm sitting upright in this thing. They're pressing it in pretty firmly, and they seem to be adjusting it on my temples. I hope they're not going to make it too tight, because that's a tender area. It doesn't come down over my face, it's just on my head. Now I guess they've got it about as snug as they're going to get it. And the ones at the side are looking at me. Laugh. They're really kind of cute. I mean, they still have that open curious look. And they're looking at my face and my head, and the temple area. They're touching it with their little bony fingers, and sort of nodding. And I'm just amazed that I'm not terrified. I'm curious, and so are they. And I'm thinking, wow. I'm really here. I'm really having this experience. These beings are really here, doing things here with me. They're starting up something right now. I can't say that I hear anything, but I feel a hum without hearing it. I guess that means feeling the vibration, but a very, very soft one. It's coming right through my head from all directions. And it's like they're telling me to just relax your neck. And relax into this thing around my head. D, are they telling you this by talking to you? B, no. I just know that's their thoughts, because they're not my thoughts. But since I'm going to be in this thing anyway, I'd like to relax my head and my neck too. And there is a neck support there. It's kind of hard, but at least it's something to sort of lean back into. It has a little padding on it just like the arms. D, and then what happens? B, I'm just sitting there wondering about it. And there are all these knobs, and other ones are coming over. Suddenly this small room has a lot of them in it. They're different heights too. Like down on the road. D, do they look alike? 512, the custodians. B, no, there's a taller one. It seems like a he. He has a very, very bony white head, and different eyes. D, what's different about them? B, well, they're really, really big. They're much bigger than the other ones, and a different shape. But you know, the neat thing is that all of these seem to have expression in their eyes. And I feel great interest, like an honoring. I mean, it's more than curiosity. It's like they're intently interested in what's happening, and I'm also feeling a great sense of approval. I mean, they're not moving around with excitement or clapping or anything. But I'm getting the feeling they're really happy they found this one. Chuckle, me. because this one has a lot of information that they want. And it seems like they haven't had this one before, meaning me. I feel like I'm a new one, like a new subject, so they're especially interested. So I'm just sitting here, and they're all watching, and new ones come in. Nobody who comes in goes out, so pretty soon this little space is pretty crowded with different people. Some of them are even pushing past each other. Laugh, like those two little ones in the car. D, you say D, you felt this vibration. Yeah, where was the vibration? B, in my head. It feels like a hum, but I can't say I hear any sound. There's something, like a current. But it doesn't hurt or anything. It's very soothing, in fact. It's very relaxing. D, but you don't know what's happening? B, no. I just know they're very interested. It seems like they might be wanting to know what's in my brain. D, can you ask any of them to tell you? B, yeah, okay. I can't move my mouth, but I guess I can think it. D, yes. Tell them you're curious. B, well, there are two or three layers deep of these, laugh, beings around. But I'm asking the taller one, who's kind of in the third row in front of me. The big tall one with the huge eyes, and the very bony white head. And it's amazing, investigating the investigator, 513, that I like him. I mean, normally if you saw something like that, you'd get the absolute creeps. But he seems to be really neat, so I'm just looking at him. And it's actually hard to look in both of his eyes, because they're widespread, so that my eyes looking straight ahead don't quite match his. So I have to look at one or the other. My eyes are much closer together. Chuckle, but still I can look at one eye and then the other. So I'm asking, what are you doing? What's going on here? And he is beaming back, you are our treasured one. Bonnie became emotional and started to cry. We need to learn from you, just like you learn from us. And now we're meeting face to face. She was now openly crying, and we can know what you know about us. Her crying obscured the words, and it's very good. Crying, feeling completely honored, and happy. These are tears of happiness. D, then they're not tears of sadness or fear? B, oh, no. Crying, I'm feeling profoundly honored all the way through. D, that's very good. I tried to make her objective again, so she could stop the emotions, and how are they learning from you? B, regaining her composure, he says, we're downloading information from your mind. And you know what that means now, Bonnie. Good for you. You're learning your computer, and you understand this now. We're just taking all that you know from all those people you've worked with who've had episodes, interesting they call them episodes, with ones like us. And we want to know how these people experience our interactions with them. We want to know how we affect them, and how they experience it, and what it means to them. And you know all that, Bonnie, from many people. And you've seen them change. You've seen them go from terrible fear and trauma, as you call it on Earth, to acceptance and peace. And in many cases wanting to know us better. As you two have been wanting to know us. As you have had some awareness of. And now you can. 514. The custodians. So this experience is for you too. You've been with us before. You just haven't thought so. And I'm thinking, yes. I have met with these bluish ones before, way back in 1742. D, that was a surprise, 1742? That is a long time ago. B, when I was a castle guard back in Wales. They picked me up bodily and brought me way, 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 way out in space to where these silvery bluish, beautiful ones with the liquidy eyes and radiating goodwill, greeted me. It was wonderful. D, so you've known them a long time? B, a long time. And I experienced being part of their group mind, which is really, really different. D, but have you known them since that time? B, I'm not aware of that. D, so they knew who you were, that's what you mean. All right. But you are on a ship experiencing this downloading. What happens after that? B, this doesn't even go on for very long, probably just a few minutes. It's hard to say. And I'm so dazzled by them. You see, The innermost ring of these beings are these beautiful silvery bluey ones. They all look just like each other. And they exude a lovely gentleness and interest, curiosity. The tall one in the back is exuding really goodwill too. He's the one who's been talking to me. D. Well, what happens when they finish this? B. The hum feeling is stopping. And they're around the sides now where my temples are, opening something. I don't know if it's hinges or plates or something. And they're taking this apparatus off my head. I'm still sitting in the same position with my head upright. And the big tall one says, "Thank you. We appreciate your information. And we appreciate the work you're doing with people whom we work with. We honor you very much, and you will be absolutely fine. We're not taking away your memories. They're all perfectly intact. And we're very happy to have you share anything you want with people on Earth. Because, investigating the investigator, 515, it's important that they become very accustomed to the idea that we all exist, and that we interact with many, many of you." I had become so engrossed that I forgot to watch my tape recorder. Bonnie's recorder shut off, and that caused me to look at mine. It had almost reached the end of the tape. So while the man changed her tape, I took mine out, put a new one in, and continued. D. They're allowing us to have this information? B. He is saying, "Please do. Use any opportunity you can to share. Any group that you're in, any individuals you meet, any people you talk to. And you must begin acquainting your own family with this." D. What would he say to someone who thinks it's wrong to take their personal information? B. He says in the universal scheme of things it's not wrong. And someday, even though we, meaning them, this is him saying this, even though we are the ones learning much more about you at this time, you human beings, you Earth people, will have your turn eventually, learning more about us. And many of us want you Earth people to learn more about us. There are some that don't, but we do, because we're interacting for the common good. We are really working very hard through many Earth individuals to keep improving the quality of life on Earth. And it is very, very important for other people to know that part of it. There is needed a very large balancing and offsetting of the disaster modes that are so often presented to your societies. And you, Bonnie, just inherently, always in your life anyway, are looking for balance and mutual understanding. That is why you are one of the people we are working with. We even sometimes send people to you to work with. It may not seem like it to you, because they say they heard you speak, or they were referred by somebody whom you know. But we often are the ones impressing them and leading them, 516, the custodians, to the lecture where they'll hear you, and learn where they can reach you. And they'll come and work with you, because you are one of the ones who's open for the balance, open for the good that many of us are trying so earnestly to achieve. It's very sad for us to see so many of the things going on amongst Earth people. And very sad for us to see the closeness of mind to other beings in the universes. So when we find one like you, and others like you, you have no idea how much we honor you all. We honor that you learn, and inquire and read, and you're open always to all the other inputs. And you share that with other people. The work that you're doing with other people to help them in this life to open up and accept the interactions with us, has a far greater effect on their souls than you realize. It's way beyond just this lifetime, for each of those people begins to integrate it and accept that they are interacting with us. So this has far longer effect, or far-reaching effect than you can possibly know at this time. D. Then would I be allowed to work with Bonnie again at another time? B. Oh. Absolutely. We're very pleased that she's becoming aware of this. D. Then if I work with her again, we would be allowed to have more information? B. Oh, yes. We would be pleased. We're making this experience very easy for her. We very much appreciate the fact that she is on her way home. And from her Earth perspective, it's late at night, and it's a dark night, and she has many things to do. I want you to know that when we, as you might say, pick people up and take them for experiences, we choose very well the time in their lives that we do this. We do not pick them up when they're sick. We do not pick them up if they're about to have surgery. We do not pick them up if they're going through a marital crisis. or if they've lost somebody very close to them through what you term death. We choose oftentimes when they're not in the middle of anything exceedingly demanding or investigating the investigator, 517, important of their time, attention or emotions. That's one of the reasons we tend to work so often with people when they're sleeping. To not interrupt their work day or their family life. We often meet with them and take them when they're on a vacation where they have leisure time. A friend of yours, Bonnie, has been taken often on camping trips. Far more than he knows. And that is as it should be. Because he's not stressed, and he doesn't have to function alertly the next day. So we try to be considerate. And with you yourself, you have a very busy time ahead. But here is a lovely window of time, driving home at night, late. And, yes, you have a busy day tomorrow, but we're not leaving you with any traumatic effects or any body effects. We will just gently put you down, and you will continue on your way. And barely even know that anything happened, until you're ready to know. D. Can I ask what was the object by the side of the road? B. Oh. That object, that was one of our little scouting vehicles. We just simply made it look like something familiar to Earth people, like a big truck. And it was some of our beings that she saw walking around it. D. What was the glow behind the hills? B. That's another one of our ships. Actually, there was quite a fleet of ours out here this night. And one of them was off behind the hill. There are some people who live off in the distant hillsides. There are many, many miles of just hills and valleys over there. Occasionally there's a dirt road and a house. And some of those are our people. Sometimes Earth people wonder why people continue to live in remote areas, if they're having these experiences. D. You mean the people living in the house are our people? Yes, they're living on Earth, you mean? B. I'm referring to the people we visit and take with us. D. I see. I thought you meant people like yourself. B. No. We don't live on the Earth. D. These are people in isolated areas that you work with, in other words. 518. The custodians. B. Yes. Behind those hills where Bonnie was driving, there was one of our crafts. And some of them emit great amounts of light. And that particular craft was visiting somebody in a house. It's, oh, a series back there, of isolated rural homes, that you don't see from the highway. D. Then it was not the craft she is on now. B. No, no, no. It was another one. And, as a matter of fact, there was another one, from her perspective, down the coast. What she experienced as a bright sudden round flash without any sound, was simply that craft just popping right into her dimension. It only takes a moment, and once it gets into the third density, then it sort of evens out. It's only the collision point that causes the flash. D. The collision of the dimensions, you mean? B. Yes. The collision of the craft coming in from another dimension into the third dimension of reality. It often will make a flash. We do this a lot in the daytime. But people don't tend to see the flashes, because the sky is light from the Earth point of view. D. So once it enters the dimension then the light fades. B. Yes. It goes through an immediate adjustment to being. I know it's hard for Earth people to understand, but it becomes more dense itself. The craft and those on it. And so they very rapidly enter and almost immediately adjust to being enough in the third dimension that, oddly enough, third dimension doesn't see it usually. They can see it, but they're usually not looking. You'd be amazed at how many of our craft fly around without anybody ever seeing us. D. Chuckle. I wouldn't be amazed. I know it can happen. B. And there is another thing. When we put her back again onto the road, we'll make every effort to put her back at pretty much where we took her. Which should be easy, because our craft is still down there. Sometimes we don't know exactly. But when we do, she too will have to enter back into the third density. D. While she is on this craft, she is in another density. B. Right here on the craft, sitting in this chair, she's not in as investigating the investigator, 519, denser form as she is when she's back on Earth in a third density. D. So you have to adjust the density as the car comes back down. B. Yes. plus the fact that at that very second when she re-enters there will be a flash of light, and it will be very startling to her. D. This is because of the two dimensions interacting Gargain? B. Yes, because she's coming in from a lighter density to the denser third density. Just like there was that flash of light down the coast, there will be a flash of light right there on the freeway, and she will see it. She will be in her car. We'll put her back in her car here, and then we'll lower her down. She won't know any of that. And then suddenly there'll be this flash of light, and she'll be back on the road, motor running, driving again. D. But when this experience first began, she saw a flash across the windshield. B. Right. That's because she was starting, right then and there, with our help, of course, to enter into our dimension. D. So it created a flash also. B. Right. So as Earth people, Earth vehicles, Earth animals for that matter, Earth life forms of all kinds, leave the third dimension and come into our lighter higher vibration density dimension, at which there is a type of physicality, but not as solid, although you don't even have that, either. At that point there can be, and often is, this flash of light. Now, again, in the daytime most people don't see this, or if they're asleep at night they may not see this. Or they may experience just being in the beam of light, and not so much that flash. But sometimes when it happens very quickly, as it happened very quickly to her, there is this big flash. Now, many times we do it a different way when somebody is driving along the road. We will surround them with light, and render their car motor inoperable. Their car motor stops, their lights go out. We try to make sure they get over to the side of the road first, or off the road. We, 520, the custodians, know what can happen there. It would be disadvantageous to all, but it's a slower process, and the person in the car is aware that the motor is going off. So there's not such a sharp sudden transition into our dimension. You see what I mean? The light bans around the car, the motor stops, the person's off the road. We show up, we take them through the car door, or open the door, as we did for her. And usually we'll bring them up in a beam of light. So in that case there's no flash. You see, it's a more gradual transition. D. So it can happen in two different ways. Yes, yes, all right. We are running out of time in our place here. B. I understand that. D. So I would like to ask a few more questions. She said she saw something much like a strip of light in the bright light. What was that? B. That's one of our laser effects. It's a very thin beam. And it actually came from our vehicle that was down there on the road. Actually that vehicle is still there. It's not actually on the road. It's just above the road. We don't really ever put any of our craft right on the earth. D. Why? B. It would be very harmful to our craft, because of the energy effects radiating around the craft, and under the craft, of course. Over the whole surface there is a radiating energy effect that helps us propel and fly. It would be interrupted if the bottom of the craft were to sit on the earth. So it has to hover, or sometimes put down legs. In this case it's just hovering. But it's quite close to the ground, so it appeared to her that it was. D. What was this laser effect you were talking about? B. It's just something we have on that small craft. We have them on all of our craft actually. They're instantaneous and very powerful. It's a beam of light. A certain quality, a certain frequency of light that has definite, I won't say physicality, but it has a strength. It's very dense and compacted and concentrated in its frequencies, in its beam. It's really quite narrow beam. Nowadays you, investigating the investigator, 521, have a little sense of this. When you people give lectures and show slides, you have a laser pointer, and you push a little button, and then over on the screen you see the red dot. Well, actually in between the gadget and the red dot there is a beam, a certain frequency. It's very narrow, and to the human eye, usually it's not seen. To our eye it's seen all the time. We see different frequencies. So this little beam of light was shot out to get her attention, and to let her know, especially later on, that something unusual did happen. But we don't want to do anything that will really frighten her, or traumatize her too much tonight, because we appreciate that she has a long drive home. And she has definite responsibilities this weekend, and needs to be refreshed and rested to do them. D. She said that the windshield cracked. What caused that? B. That was the beam of light. D. The beam of light hit the windshield? B. Yes. It had so much strength. D. Was this intentional? B. Yes, it was. And the reason why it was on an angle, is because it came from slightly higher up in the craft. Remember, Rai said the craft was hovering. It wasn't entirely down at ground level, as she was driving by in the car. So it came down slightly from above across her windshield. Because it's not physical, we knew it would do two things. We knew it would make an impact, and make a mark on her windshield. We also knew it was not of such a density that it would cause her to swerve and have an accident. D. Did this hit the windshield before she was taken up into your craft, or after she was put back down? B. No. Actually, we haven't even done that yet. What happened before was the intense bright light, and actually seeing the strip. We do have quite amazing ways, I imagine, from your point of view. Chuckle, but we had her see the light. And then she drove up in it, she was right, on an angle. Then we lifted her the rest of the way, to another craft overhead, while the other little one stayed, 522, the custodians, down by the road. And when we put her down again, as I said, it will be as close as possible to exactly where we took her. If we can, we will take her down to that exact moment when she saw what she thought was a strip of something in that dazzling light. And then we will let the experience proceed. She will be impacted by that laser beam, and it will affect her windshield. So at this moment in time, that hasn't happened yet. But time is so relative, it's almost as if it has happened, because it will happen. D. All right. Well, as I said, we are under time constraints in our dimension here. Yes, I would like to really thank you for communicating with me. B. I'm very glad to. Many of my fellows have communicated with you, Dolores. D. Laugh, I didn't know if it was the same group or not. B. Well, you work with many groups. But I'm one of the groups, we are one of a number of groups. So I'm familiar with you. D. Then you know I'm always curious. B. Oh, and it's wonderful what you're doing worldwide. We are so pleased. We couldn't be more pleased. D. Then it's okay if I continue to work with. B. Interrupted, absolutely. And to share. We honor your writing and we honor your lecturing. And we honor your traveling. It's absolutely magnificent. You have a wonderful quality of being such a good human being that your fellow humans accept you. And they believe you. They open to what you are saying. You are a down-home regular person, who's actually far more outstanding than that. But that's what people have the impression of. You're a good motherly person they can trust. And that's tremendously important on the earth today. That people hear this from likable, credible people. D. Then I have permission to contact you through Bonnie and we can obtain more information? B. Absolutely. Please do. We're delighted. And I would like to say before we finish, that the little ones around her are the investigating the investigator, 523, very same kind that really did work with her long, long, long ago in another life. D. Because they live longer. B. Yes, we all live as long as we want to live, or need to live, to do the jobs we're doing. It's just as easy as that. And thank you for facilitating this experience. Thank you for helping Bonnie with this. D. And you know I protect her and I always have her welfare at heart. B. I am sure you do. And she is sure of that too. D. Then can I ask you to depart? Yes, and have her personality and consciousness once again return. B. Interrupted, we do need to return her however. And it won't take very long. I had forgotten that we were out of their time sequence, but the taller being had not. We apparently had to go with his schedule before Bonnie could be brought back to consciousness, and our present reality. B. The little ones are putting her back in the car. And the little curious ones are backing away. And they're opening up the bottom of this big craft. She's been lowered down in light. By the way, there's still no one on that freeway. We have influenced anyone who was going to go north or south on the 101 freeway at this particular time, which is actually a very, very short period of Earth clock time, to just not drive.